is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. As always, it is such a joy to have you with us as we open the Word of God and seek to understand and apply it to our day-to-day lives. We're going to be finishing up today our study of Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, in which we find a woman whose heart is overflowing in gratitude to Jesus, powerfully demonstrating her love for him. It says, starting at verse 36, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.'" You know, when I was growing up, I had the privilege of traveling with my father as he would preach in many different churches in and around our home in South Bend, Indiana. In some of his sermons, I got to hear multiple times over the years. And one of these, which I'll never forget, was his sermon on poor, blind Bartimaeus, begging beside the road until Jesus comes and gives to him his sight. I'll never forget one of the chief points that my dad used to make. He said, "Notice how Jesus ignored his first cry. Bartimaeus had cried out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me.' But Jesus seems to ignore him. And so Bartimaeus cries out even louder, and at this point, my dad would suddenly scream from behind the pulpit in an anguished, desperate cry that would really be quite jarring for the crowd. 'Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me!' He would scream it. And I could always tell how deeply it resonated with the people. My dad would always follow up by saying that we forget just how desperate Bartimaeus' cry for Jesus must have been. And then my dad would say this. It was his final point. He said, "It is the desperate cry that Jesus stops for. And you know, that never left me. And in studying the text of Scripture over the years, and especially the Gospels, I see this truth displayed over and over again. In Matthew chapter 8, the disciples and Jesus are in a boat in the midst of a furious storm. And Jesus is asleep, seemingly oblivious to their danger, though we know he's not. And the disciples are getting desperate, and so it says the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." You see, it's only when they cry out to him in desperation that he rises and tells the storm to hush and be still. Now, once again, this serves to highlight the reality that God, he wants to be invited into our situations. He desires for us to articulate to him our deep and abiding need. Not just to have our needs met, but for him. It's then, when we're desperate for him, that he intervenes and answers. And that's what we see demonstrated here in this passage. Here is a woman who is desperate, who had some incredible need met. We're not told what, but Jesus has healed and or forgiven her, and now declares publicly that she is forgiven. And she's desperate to get into the presence of Jesus, this time not to receive, but to give back, to offer up the sacrifice of praise and adoration to Jesus for what he did for her. She's even willing to risk public humiliation. You know, in some ways, she reminds me of Daniel in the Old Testament. In chapter 6 of that book, we find that King Nebuchadnezzar had just signed a decree saying that anyone praying to anybody but him for the next 30 days would be thrown into a den of lions. But I love Daniel's reaction to this when he hears of it. It's the same reaction he had when he heard that Nebuchadnezzar was going to have all the wise men in Babylon, including himself, put to death. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." So 3 times a day, it says, he was devoting himself to prayer, and not just request-oriented prayer, as so many of our prayers are. No, it says not only that he prayed, but also that he gave thanks before his God. 3 times a day, intentional, grateful thanksgiving. Now, anyone would have understood if he decided to take a month off from prayer, but he doesn't. Why? Because he is hungry and thirsty for God. And in his decision to continue praying, to continue giving thanks, what he's basically saying is, "I'd rather get eaten than miss devotions. I'd rather get eaten by lions than miss devotions." And I just think that that kind of hunger to pray and give thanks to God ought to convict every single one of us. God wants men and women, boys and girls, who are desperate for him like that, who have made an intentional choice to live even in the midst of a difficult culture and excruciating circumstances, in a spirit of constant thanksgiving towards him. You know, a man I've grown to respect very deeply once said that a holy heart is a thankful heart. Holiness is living in that outward, turned out of yourself orientation on God and on others. And thankfulness flows from that and even empowers it. If you want an excellent spirit, you need to start with thanks. And that is what this woman does. She pours out unmitigated thanks to Jesus. Now, her doing these things for Jesus, that is not what saved her. God's grace through faith is what saved her. And so we're not saved by acts of love or generosity either. However, what the actions of this woman reveal is that she did have a true faith. And it is that faith that Jesus responds to in a powerful way. It says, "Then he," Jesus, "said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" Now that statement sends shockwaves to everybody who hears it, because Jesus is claiming to have and be exercising the power to forgive sins, something that only God is able to do. And so it says, "And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?'" And Luke intentionally raises this question for his readers, for us, to reflect on because of how significant the implications are for our understanding of who Jesus is. He's more than a man. He is God. He is God the Son right there in their midst, in the flesh. It says in verse 50, "Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you.'" You know, Jesus says that kind of thing often, "Your faith has saved you." In Luke alone, he says it 3 times. And what Jesus means is that the woman experienced the forgiveness of her sins, not because of love, but through her faith, which was evidenced in the way that she honored Jesus in her act of washing his feet. And through that faith, Jesus is able to leave her with the most incredible word, peace. He says to her, "Go in peace." Now, I confess, I felt so foolish in my preparations for our time together today because for years, I had completely missed the significance of Jesus' final word to her. It had never dawned on me before that although this word peace is written in Greek in the original manuscript, Jesus didn't say it in Greek. He said it in Hebrew. He had said shalom. And shalom doesn't just mean peace. No, it is a word that speaks to relational reconciliation, of wholeness, of completeness. And so what Jesus is saying is not just have a great day. No, he's saying there is now peace, there is now shalom, relational wholeness between you and me, between you and God. To you, salvation has come. And so she leaves with the greatest word you could ever hear spoken from the mouth of God, shalom. You and I, we are at peace. Let me tell you, there is no greater thing to give thanks to God for during this season in which we continue to reflect upon this past Easter celebration, the death and resurrection of Jesus, than that. May God give us the grace this week to apply what we have learned today. May we always live in that spirit of outpouring gratitude to God. God bless. Go in shalom today. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.